Hi folks, welcome to the Money 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 podcast. I'm Surabhi Upadhyay and we come to you every week with some very interesting conversations to help you get your personal finances in order and get smart with your money. 2019 will see some big changes in the manner in which mutual funds are sold and distributed in India. Market regulator SEBI has changed the manner in which commissions can be paid out to mutual fund distributors, and it has also come up with certain do's and don'ts when it comes to seeking investment advice from financial planners. This week, we go over some of these very important changes with PF expert Gaurav Mashruwala. Gaurav, always a pleasure to have you in the studios. Thank you for taking out the time. Season's greetings, first of all. Wish you a very happy new year.
Same to you and your viewers.
Thank you so much. First things first, will we all make good money this year?
Sure. Why this year? Perpetually.
Okay. Good. So on that positive note, let's kick off what is a pretty important conversation. And this is something that, you know, sometimes I've always wondered. The plethora of advice givers that are out there when it comes to money. You know, there are banks always calling up saying, aap thoda idhar invest kar dijiye, you know, you have idle funds lying here, there. You have the IFA community, the friendly neighborhood advisor. Then of course you have mutual fund arms that they offer direct plans, etc. and things like that. How does one even begin when you know that you want to set your financial sort of financial details in order? Whom do you go to? How do you start?
So, I do understand it's overwhelming, more so if you have not kind of groomed since your teenage or you haven't seen in your family. There are too many options. When there weren't any options, we all were seeking for options. Now that we have options, you as an investor, an individual may want to go and interview people. So check with your banker, check with an IFA that you mentioned. There are national level distributors. Mm. Call them, talk to them. There is no single barometer, something which says ABC and you're done with. You have to check for their experience, their qualifications, registration. Also, there'll be some personal compulsion. Somebody who's in transferable job should not be looking at an IFA because the person is moving all the time. Mm. Or if somebody is saying that, look, I just need a specific advice, then try and find out if that particular in the IFA is specializing in it. So based on your need, pick it up.
You know, the thing is that the word distribution and advice is often interchangeable when it comes to the Indian personal finance landscape. And this is something that we are always urging our viewers to keep in mind, at least ask these questions, because typically a distributor is meant to distribute products. He or she is perhaps more aligned, or their interests are more aligned with their own personal needs and what a manufacturer is sort of pushing out or selling out. That is a mutual fund house or an asset management company. Whereas an advisor typically is supposed to work for me if I'm seeking advice. And then there is a gray area in between. So help us demystify this.
So first is SEBI regulation has come in place. Mm-hmm. Saying that now you're a SEBI registered investment advisor. If you're not within that, then you're a distributor, number one.
The RIA. So RIA. Ask whoever is giving you advice whether he or she, first of all, to begin with, is an RIA, whether he or she is a SEBI registered investment advisor. First question to be asked, right?
That's number one. And then obviously you can go to SEBI website and check that person's name, registration number, etc. So that's one. Mm. Second, and which is a litmus test, is how is that person earning? Hmm. Is that person earning by charging you fees? Then he's on your side. Hmm. Is that person earning by selling something? Then he's obviously on that side, the other side. So it's as simple test as this. If anybody expects that the person who's advising is not charging you and giving you free advice, there can't be free lunch. In fact, how will he survive? So a good client would say, I want you to survive so that you give me a fair advice because I'm giving you my hard-earned money. So litmus test is, how is that person earning? Otherwise, we have regulations in place now.
Now, are these registered advisors, the RIA community, are they also distributors? Or does a registered advisor means that he or she will only advise me and earn their fee from me, whereas I pay the advisor?
So there are two questions mixed into this, and I'll answer both. So number one, if a private limited entity is SEBI registered investment advisory, they are into it, which is possible, then they can be doing both advisory as well as distribution. There has to be a what is called as Chinese wall. So they both are completely separate, but they can do both.
Okay.
As far as individuals are concerned, then if they are SEBI registered investment advisor, they cannot be in distribution technically.
Okay.
They may have a tie-up, they may be giving you an offer saying you can route it through this, but they can't be running both simultaneously.
So they, and if it's an individual who is an RIA, then he or she can only offer advice, cannot become a distributor for a mutual fund house. Okay, but if it is an entity, if it is a if it is a company that has been set up, then the company can have two arms where advisory is supposed to be separate and distribution of products is supposed to be done separately.
Yes. So that was first part. Second is fees. Now there are different fee models worldwide. So one is fee only, where only fee is charged. Again, there are subcategories, depending on time we can discuss it, but fee only is either a fixed fee or a variable fee or whatever. Then there are fee based. Who will earn fee and who can also earn commission. This can happen if a RIA is an entity because there is some kind. And then there are commission only, which are distributors.
Commission and fees, I want to come to that a little later because we need to really understand that. That's where the changes are happening, trail commission as opposed to upfront, etc. We'll come into that in a minute. But before that, So, what is the kind of qualification? I mean, how is this RIA selection process carried out? And is it mandatory for every single advisor in India to be registered with SEBI? Or do you run the risk of perhaps seeking advice from someone who's not an RIA, yet are there separate qualifications? They might be a CFA. I mean, what does the law say?
Okay, so as far as regulations are concerned, they're very clear. Everybody who's into giving advice has to be advisor. Clear. Otherwise, you can't give advice.
And registered with SEBI.
Registered
with SEBI. So ask for their number, the SEBI registration number.
So that's very clear, number one. Number two, now how do you get into it? There are exams. So one is NISM, National Institute of Securities Market, which is a SEBI entity. There are level one, level two exam, which you need to give. And they have also approved of certain other exams. Like as of today, CFP certification, or there are one or two. But you need to check. And anybody who has cleared that exam is qualified to apply for a SEBI RIA.
Okay.
After that, on a SEBI website, you can download the form. There is an application form to apply. And it's pretty exhaustive where they ask your detail, your business plan, your past experience, your association with the profession. In certain instances, you also have to have your net worth. So all those things are to be submitted.
Got it.
Once you submit, they evaluate if they have a in your income tax returns. Once you submit that, they evaluate if they have queries, they come back to you. And only after that, the certificate is issued to you that you're SEBI registered investment advisor.
So the litmus test, as you said, Gaurav, is asking the individual upfront without hesitation, how are you getting your money? Is it just coming from my fee that I'm paying you? Is it coming from other sources as well? So here, you know, break this up for us. Typically, distributors are, of course, paid by mutual fund houses or AMCs. And that model, as I understand, itself is changing. Now, a distributor cannot be incentivized to make me churn. He's not paid, or he or she will not be paid immediately as I sign on a folio. Is that right?
So that's a distribution model, but if you still want to focus on is SEBI slowly, slowly tightening loops so that there is no mis-selling to a novice investor.
Okay.
Now, wherever they see areas, so yes, churning could be stopped, get into all trail, stop upfront, restrict the entry load, all those couple of years ago. So all those things will ensure that the investor is least impacted. And if you observe in last 2-3 years, SEBI has done a good job in tweaking these. There has been other problems as well. So it's not foolproof as yet. We are evolving. But yes, there will be issues with if you're churning more, it's not that it's earning you more. So then why would you churn?
Okay. But is it correct to at least assume that typically there won't be too many entities, there shouldn't be too many entities that are earning both from the mutual fund subscriber and from the fund house. I mean, it's sort of, it should be clean with a Chinese wall in between, as you say.
Ideally, yes, because what will happen is that there is always some kind of subtle interest because there is no way the amount of fees that a registered investment advisor earns is equivalent to the commissions, unless he gets into a direct plan and then the fees that he charges, he or she, is linked to the amount of money that is there. So it's an indirect way of trail coming, but yes, it has. Because those fees, as of now, the model is so novice that people aren't willing to pay that much fees. You know, if you just put it in perspective, somebody will say yearly 25, 30, 40, 50,000.
For a pure advisory.
Pure advisory. Yeah. Now imagine if that person is advising on a 30 crore portfolio. On a 30 crore, somebody who's just selling will be earning huge amount of money, even if it's half a percent. We are talking about 15 lakhs without 50,000. So those are the issues. Unless people are not willing to pay, somebody just by advising on a flat fee will struggle. So he will link it, and there is to be transparency. So
actually, let's take this forward. Let's talk about just the RIAs, the registered investment advisors, and the kind of fee that they follow. And we're talking about independent individuals over here. So is there a fixed mandate that comes from the regulator? What are the rough percentages? I mean, how does it work in the industry?
So there are a couple of them who charge a flat fee.
Okay, flat, and it's not linked to the amount of money that they're managing.
It's not linked to the amount of money that they're managing. It's a flat fee saying 10,000, 20,000, 50,000 lakh
annual fee
rupees.
For the year.
So it's a flat retainer kind of fee. There's some who do charge per hour, but I haven't seen many. I would love that model if it picks up. Then there are certain people who would say, we'll make you do direct plans, but we will charge you on the amount of money on which we give advice.
Yes.
Right?
Because it's a percentage of maybe a portfolio.
It's a percentage of the portfolio that we are advising you. We will ensure that you save on the fees that the mutual fund will charge. But we are not on a flat fee. It is linked because you're coming to us regularly. We are looking at your total portfolio, total asset side, not only the portfolio, even the assets that you have, investments that you have, which you have not picked up from us.
Okay. So it's a percentage of the entire portfolio.
It could be, yes. For example, somebody could have inherited a real estate. Somebody could be sitting with gold, pure gold, or as in physical gold. Somebody would have direct equity, mutual funds. Now, this advisor is advising on the entire thing. So he's just not advising on small bit, a portion of your overall balance sheet.
And what is the industry practice? What is that percentage? Typically, I mean, the prevailing
it
sort
varies. We have had people in India charging from 0.5% to about 1.25. Internationally, the amounts are still high. They go up to 2.5%, 3.5%, 4% as well.
And between the two or three different ways that you mentioned, either a flat fee, then there is this percentage model that's followed. What is the more prevalent model here in India for an RIA?
Most of them would be linking it to the amount of money that that they advise on. People would want to start with a flat fee, but they can't survive beyond a point of time because imagine charging somebody 5 lakh rupees fees. People will not pay because the mindset is not such. So it doesn't have an option but to get into saying, do a direct plan and pay me a variable.
Okay. So there you go. That is basically how it works if you are going to be with a RIA who is only getting paid by you, who's not getting paid by the asset manager. Now let's cross over to the other side and talk about the quasi-distribution, distribution plus advisory model, which is very, very grey at the moment. Now, here, typically, how is the fee structure going or the commission structure going to work? Because we are moving to what is known as the all-trail model. And Gaurav will explain what this all-trail model means.
Okay, so first is, let's get into all-trail because then answering the first part will be easier. For decades, what has been happening is a mutual fund distributor would earn something upfront the moment you invest. He gets certain commission, and then as long as your amount stays invested, he earns small portion. Now, under these, what used to happen was that initially the amount of money paid to the distributor would be large. Mm-hmm. And then throughout, it will be a smaller portion that was actually given to him or her for conducting regular reviews. But sure. lot many times they don't conduct, lot time investors don't have time to go for reviews. Mm-hmm. So it's a both the ways. Now SEBI is saying nothing doing. There is nothing upfront that will come to you.
Yes.
You will keep getting commission as long as money is staying invested. Mm-hmm. But which means you also have to look after the investor. I mean, handhold them throughout their journey of investment. You can't just leave them, because as in earlier time, if majority of my commission has come earlier, for one shot, I'm not interested in looking after. So now that is changing. It's all trail compulsory. For years, it was optional. A distributor could choose whether he wants all trail or upfront, but now nothing doing, it will be all trail.
Right. So the incentive to make you quickly, you know, or more frequently churn
is going up.
That goes away. Now, whatever the distributor is being paid via commissions, that is entirely part of the mutual fund's expense ratio. There's nothing over and above that is being taken away from me as an investor in order to meet these commission requirements.
So as far as you are concerned, you're paying total expenses.
Yeah, which might be 2%, 2.25%, whatever the fund is charging. Yeah.
So once that is paid, as an investor, you need not bother how is mutual fund company paying and from what. That is between mutual fund company and SEBI. So if they are violating, either they are bleeding their own balance sheet or SEBI will get them. So as you are concerned, if there is a complete transparency as to how much percentage of your investment will go towards expenses, as an investor, you should be fine.
So now as this model changes from the upfront commission to the all trail model, as an investor, do you expect my experience to undergo any kind of a change? Should I expect anything different in the next 12, 16 months?
You know, Surabhi, what happens is that's where mind game comes in. Over a year of I've been in this profession for two and a half decades. And sometimes investors themselves are so hyper, saying, why haven't you changed anything for last two and a half years? I'm saying there's no need for it to change. But people don't have that. So to that extent, manipulation will reduce. But investors also need to get used to saying that every time market goes up, a call comes.
You don't have to keep changing, moving in and out of a fund.
You don't need to, because that's detrimental to your own self, to your own financial health. So if that's not happening, at the same time, there is regular review happening. How you said your date with Surabhi Upadhyay for personal finance, same thing, have a financial date with you and your spouse and your family.
With
every
advisor.
Quarter, spend 2 to 3 hours, just 12 hours a year, to evaluate your own portfolio.
That'll go a long way in ensuring that you have money, absolutely. Now, before we take a break, banks and those RM calls that we are all disturbed by often. Now, when I was speaking to a lot of the industry participants, the first sense was that as this distribution model changes, perhaps the incentive that banks had to really push out mutual funds all the time, maybe that incentive goes down. There's no upfront commission from the AMCs. How should we expect the banking channel to behave? Again, from a customer or an investor's point of view.
So I hope that becomes a reality, because even I get calls. It's not only you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely. And even if they know, I still get a call. So what will happen is, and while I'm not from banking industry, so I don't know 100% reality, but what I've heard is those RMs were also earning their commissions or incentives or reach. The target calculation was based on the amount of revenue earned by the bank. Now, if it's going on all trail, then RM will not be incentivized just to churn, because there is no additional money coming in. If that doesn't happen, in all probability, RMs will not bother you, hopefully.
Okay, well, these are just thoughts for 2019. Now, SEBI has come out with a list of do's and don'ts. It's pretty interesting, and you'll see a lot of these pointers on your screen as we speak. Some very basic things that SEBI is pointing out. Always deal with SEBI-registered investment advisors. That's what we just discussed, Gaurav. Check for the SEBI registration number. Pay advisory fee to your investment advisor only through banking channels. Maintain records, some very systematic hygiene things that the regulator points out. Your do's and don'ts list, Gaurav, I mean, pretty much.
So one is what I said in the beginning, that yes, SEBI registered and qualified and etc. But also check out the experience.
Okay.
How many years the person has been in profession, number one. Number two, most important, which I've been saying for years, is this individual full-time into the profession? Because we have a lot of these mutual fund and insurance distributors who are during the day doing something else, and in the evening and weekend doing a part-time work. That doesn't work. So is the person full-time into it? Insist, or if it's a IFA, insist on going to his or her office. Very, very important. While people want service at home, go there, you'll be able to see the setup, the staff. That will give you an idea about the stability. All these things are very, very important. How that person maintains record, ask for references, and check if, and two things again, is he freely giving away references? So he'll speak, because if he's freely giving away references, which means your name could also be floating everywhere. So just be careful, because confidentiality is important.
Yes.
But then, if possible, or if you can and if you want, go and talk to those people, unless you have gone to this person through somebody's reference. So these are a couple of things. How often he conducts reviews? Is there a proper letter of engagement being signed? Which I think even this
is point number eight. That's exactly what I had my eye on. The eighth point in SEBI's do's and don'ts: insist on getting the terms and conditions in writing, duly signed and stamped. Read those terms and conditions carefully, particularly regarding advisory fees, advisory plans, the category of recommendations, etc., before dealing with an advisor. So really, I mean, should you have like a watertight agreement with your advisor?
You should.
Okay.
You must, because you're giving your hard-earned money. So let there be a very clear-cut, black and white terms and conditions laid down as to what are your responsibilities, what are his responsibilities, what is he or she going to deliver, how will fees be charged, at what frequency. How does he maintain his confidentiality about his staff? All those things has to be very, very clear. If there are disputes, is there arbitration? Can you go to court? You need to apply to SEBI. All those with jurisdiction. All those things are very, very clearly narrated or clarified in all letters of engagement, and that should be adhered to and followed. In fact, this is again one more litmus test. If somebody's just starting without it, there's something wrong.
Okay, I think those are important words and good advice to keep in mind. Before we let you go, we have to ask you, it is the new year. So any secret tips, any secret sauce, even if it's not secret, even if it's the tried and tested, the golden rules that one must keep in mind to make sure that you're moving towards prosperity this year?
Prepare, don't predict.
Prepare, don't predict.
Predict.
And in preparation, if you were to give a quick checklist, hygiene checklist.
There I would say that you look at your, what are the funds requirement coming up in 2019? Where would that money come from? Regular income, have you saved something? Update your KYCs, update your contact details, ensure your family is aware of it, and focus on your own self, because we will see Brexit, we will see general election, we will have interim budget, final budget, lots of things, seat sharing, coalition, no coalition. You can predict for your entertainment, but your money is not for your entertainment.
Absolutely. So keep your eye on the ball and make sure your own goals, your planning, your paperwork is in order. Great advice as always. Thank you very much, Gaurav, for taking out the time. And once again, wish you a happy new year as well. And of course, we wish more prosperity to all our viewers throughout this year. That's it on this week's podcast. You can catch the show at 6:30 p.m. on Tuesdays with repeats on Saturday and Sunday mornings only on CNBC TV 18. You can also find us on the CNBC TV 18 YouTube channel. Do send your feedback, comments, queries. Catch me on Twitter. My handle is at Surabhi Upadhyay. That's S-U-R-A-B-H-I-U-P-A-D-H-Y-A-Y. Don't forget to add the hashtag money. Catch you next week.